We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's no reality. This is sports.
At the new slogan for our show, welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. There's no reality. This is sports.
There's no reality. This is sports.
Doc getting philosophical on us as his point guard wears sweatpants, carries a phone on the court, and won't participate in drills. What a circus the Sixers are. And I feel like every time we bring on Mike O'Connor from Rights to Ricky Sanchez, the Sixers are some level of circus. Today, it became a three-ring circus with Ben being told to go home, him taking his ball and literally leaving. And here we are, the Sixers point guard suspended for tomorrow night. I don't believe he'll ever wear the jersey again in a game. And Daryl Morey waiting for some sort of value to emerge and make a trade. Let's talk to Mike O'Connor here, Rights to Ricky Sanchez. He wrote a column this weekend. I saw bold predictions for the season. And, of course, the situation with Ben Simmons. Mike, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, Joe. Didn't you think we'd be done talking about this guy by now? Didn't you think this would all be over? Unfortunately, we're still talking about him.
Yeah, I did. And we were wrong because we thought that, because he's still here, although he's not really, because he's at home right now as the Sixers are traveling and did travel today to go play their first game of the season tomorrow. Mike, I was discussing tonight with the audience about like where we put the blame. Like, obviously, Ben's not acting professional. I'm not trying to absolve him from blame. He's acting like a petulant child. But my frustration tonight on this whole thing lies with the Sixers and most recently Daryl Morey. Like, this should be done by now. And I understand you don't want to give away a player and you don't want to not get anything back. But at some point, the player has shown you who he is and how this might go. And I just think the league has spoken. I don't know if these magical deals are going to fall out of outer space tomorrow. The fact that this is still going on, I think it's a bad look on Daryl Morey. Who do you blame more right now for what's happening, Ben and his agents or the Sixers for trying to hold on to this thing?
I would have to start with Ben and his agents because, honestly, I think that if they had gone about this in a much quieter and more reasonable way, they might have what they want by now. He might be somewhere else, right? I mean, if we didn't have these leaks every single day this summer, we can't act like that helped his value. It had to hurt, right? So I think if they had kind of, kept their mouth shut, gone about their business and made the trade request in quiet, maybe he's already somewhere else by now. But, given the reality of what they did, you're right that there also is some blame on Daryl Morey. I mean, I just don't know what he's waiting for. What is he hoping will pop up? I don't see anything that's on the horizon that's going to, this amazing offer that's coming soon. I just don't see it.
Yeah, so with that, do you think the Sixers have overplayed their hand here with him and his value? I don't know what his value is, but my suspicion is it's not what the Sixers hope it is. And, there's always that thing with do things appreciate, do assets appreciate or depreciate, as they move forward. I don't see how we play this out and he becomes more valuable. Teams are willing to give up more. In fact, we saw the news with the Malcolm Brogdon contract extension. He now, by NBA rules, can't be traded this year. So even like something like that with the Pacers, now that's off the table. Do you think Ben is losing value here, staying the same? I can't imagine he's gaining value across the league.
I have to think he's losing value a little bit. And, part of that is just everyone's looking at what a joke the Sixers are right now, and they can't maintain any kind of homeostasis. They're not going to be a stable team with this circus going on. I mean, everybody's going to look at that and say, okay, this team is just going to become more and more motivated to get a deal done. I'm not going to up my offer the more of a joke that the franchise becomes. It's not going to happen. So, to answer your question, I definitely think they've overplayed their hand a little bit here. And, the value, I don't think it's necessarily going to tank. I don't think that we're looking at a situation where in 3 weeks they're going to have to give him up for peanuts. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but I think it's going down a little bit, you know, each and every week. Every news story just kind of is another chip away at his value.
Yeah, and it's not getting better. It's getting worse right now. Mike O'Connor, Ricer, Ricky Sanchez joining us here talking Sixers, Ben Simmons. So, Mike, now what? How do you think this will play out? You know, Doc today alluded to the idea of every day. If he wants to come back, he's welcome back. But the season starts tomorrow. He's suspended. I don't think there's a chance he's just going to walk back in and play and be at home in the game Friday night. Do they have to just send him home? Like, let him sit on the bench? Do you think they'll fake an injury here? Because now it's very hard for me to believe that we just have some sort of normalcy. This feels like something has to change soon.
Yeah, I mean, what I would do is, and it's unfortunate because you're kind of losing the power, you know, power dynamics of it here, but I would say, look, go home. Look, you won the battle. We're not, we won't, you know, fine you every day, but we just need this news cycle to go away. I mean, I think that's the most pressing need. And Ben has clearly demonstrated that if he is going to show up at all, it's not going to be, you know, his usual self. He's just going to be going through the motions and he's not going to be contributing anything of value. So why would you want him around? I mean, how could you argue? How could the Sixers possibly make the argument that having him around the past 4 or 5 days has been a good thing, either for Ben or for the team or, you know, their immediate success? Doesn't matter. A week ago, we're all excited about Isaiah Joe and Tyrese Maxey and all these guys. Now it's like it feels once again like the sky is falling. I mean, it's not good for the organization to have him around in this capacity. So, I mean, I would say – and by the way, this is not uncommon, you know, for teams to kind of just send a guy away and say, all right, you know, we'll trade you. The Rockets are doing it with John Wall right now. I mean, very different situation. But they've effectively said just stay home and we'll work to try and trade you. And I think that's ultimately what the Sixers should do.
Mike, I don't think the Sixers are going to wake up tomorrow with an offer of Dame Lillard. I don't think Bradley Beal is going to happen. I don't think any of these pie-in-the-sky ideas that maybe people thought at one point could happen are going to happen. But you did write a predictions piece that I saw, Ricer, Ricky Sanchez, with one that might be the ultimate my problem for your problem kind of trade. And you wrote about the idea of Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving. Take us through why you think at some point that could be a reality both teams have to explore.
Yeah, it's, you know, the one thing that the Sixers have consistently signaled throughout the entire Ben Simmons saga this whole summer has been, we will not trade him for anything less than an all-star, right? That is the sole reason that Ben is still on this roster, that they want an all-NBA caliber player, and they haven't gotten that offer. And I'm just looking around, and like you said, I don't see the Damian Lillard offer coming. I don't see the Bradley Beal offer coming. There's just kind of no one else. And I'll draw a parallel to the last time the Sixers traded for a star was Jimmy Butler, right? 3 years ago. And they made a big deal that summer about we're star hunting. We want, you know, LeBron and Paul George and all these guys. They didn't get any of them. And what did they do? They had to trade. They really wanted a star. They had to trade for the guy who's disgruntled, who carries a lot of baggage and was available for a really low price, right? And I think I see similarities with Kyrie Irving. I mean, all of the reporting out of Brooklyn is that the Nets are pretty much fed up with him, right? I don't see the stalemate resolving in any type of way. And I just see it as, look, if the Sixers just have one stipulation in this scenario, and it's that they must get an all-NBA player in return, well, there's only one that's available. And the other team is super motivated to move that guy too. So I just see the stars aligning for that. And everybody thinks it's crazy. And all I can say is, have you been paying attention to Sixers basketball over the past 5 years? Because everything that's happened has been crazy. Everything that's happened has been this lightning rod for insanity. So I that's just what I see happening. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's realistic.
Yeah, well, I would say the most on-brand thing for the Sixers would be to trade Ben for the unvaccinated player who threatens to retire the minute he's traded. I mean, that actually feels like the most Sixers way to do this. Let's say we get to a point where those teams discuss it. Do you think the Nets would be into that kind of deal? I mean, I think the Sixers, as you said, they're looking for a specific thing. Kyrie would fit the description, and I think he'd be a good fit with Joel. Do you think the Nets, if they get to a point where they realize Kyrie's not going to play and they're trying to win a title, do you think they would want a player like Ben Simmons in return for Kyrie?
I think that it would probably end up being a three-team trade where Ben goes somewhere else and the Nets get, you know, maybe something like the Minnesota package we've discussed where it's Malik Beasley and a bunch of draft picks. That way they replenish a lot of the picks they lost in the Harden trade and they get a good young player. Because look, let's be honest, it's Kyrie doesn't have a lot of value right now. I mean, it's just been one crisis after another in his career over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. So it's somewhat similar to Ben Simmons. I mean, I think even the Sixers might be able to get draft compensation coming their way in that type of trade. If it is Ben for Kyrie straight up, I would have to think that there's draft picks coming the Sixers' way. So that's kind of how I envision that going down.
Mike, last one for you. Independent of the Ben stuff and how this might end, what is your read on this team? It feels like, you know, I haven't even much thought about it. We haven't talked about it on the show. The season starts tomorrow. I find there to be a lack of buzz. I think this is just a buzz kill, this, the Ben Simmons stuff. But what do you think about the team and where they're at, I guess, starting tomorrow night without Ben Simmons? Is this team still really good? Do you think they have a drop-off? It feels to me like it's going to be a little drop-off. I don't think they'll be bad, but I don't think they're going to be close to a number one seed this year. What's your thought on the team independent of the Simmons stuff?
Yeah, there has to be a little drop-off, no doubt. But I don't think a big one. I mean, I think, you know, fourth seed, something in there is realistic. I mean, Joel Embiid still looks great. He's continuing to mature as a person, as a player. And, you know, one thing we saw in the preseason that, you know, really stood out to me was this team just has a ton of shooting. I mean, a ton of it. And you know, that has not been the case over the past, you know, 4 years or so, or since they've been good, where they just have – you know, sniper after sniper off the bench. I mean, they can really put out some lineups with Furkan Korkmaz and Isaiah Joe and George Niang and all these guys. You know, we're talking like top tier shooters in the NBA. And I think Joel having that and even Tobias having that, it's going to work out. They're going to be a very good offensive team. I don't think the defense will slip that much. So I think if they can ever attain some sense of normalcy, I think they'll be a very competitive team.
I think they will be too, but boy, the normalcy will probably elude them. Mike, we always appreciate you hopping on, and we'll be reading over Rice and Ricky Sanchez. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
There he goes. Mike O'Connor, his thoughts on the Sixers competitive team. Kyrie Irving for Ben. It does feel like it's just ridiculous enough to end this thing. What is the more likely scenario? Let's say that trade went down. Kyrie comes here and plays really well and pairs perfectly with Joel Embiid. Or he retires because he doesn't want to leave New York.
B.
Would you do the deal if you knew Kyrie would retire? So you clear the money.
You save that money, right?
You clear the money.
I think I would.
I think
right?
I would
mean, like, if you have a 35% chance of Kyrie Irving playing next to Joel Embiid, I think it works. I mean, it's kind of funny. We tend to forget that he pretty much tanked the Boston Celtics for 2 years.
Oh, yeah. He's a loon. I mean, he's
nuts. Like, even if he didn't want to play but still showed up, like, he could be bad. Like, he could ruin the franchise.
Remember when he walked around
out
in Boston with the incense up there? Like, he's just – I mean, I my red flag went off with Kyrie when he said, I want my own team. I don't want to play with LeBron anymore. That was like, man, like, you got the golden ticket in the NBA. Nah, I don't want this. I'm out. I'm going to go do my own thing.
Remember he got traded for Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah.
He's now killing it in the big three or something.
And then last year he was on Zooms and he was going to his sister's birthday party without a mask. That was against the NBA, you know, the protocols of the time. This year he won't get vaccinated, which...
Well, he's not anti-vaccine, Joe. He's anti-mandate.
Right, he's standing up. He's the voice for the voiceless. Could you imagine that?
Who's the voiceless? Andrew Wiggins?
Oh, he's voiced his piece, right?
You think it's an Australian thing? Like, Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons are both Australian.
Kyrie Irving's Australian?
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving is Australian?
Yeah, he was born in Australia.
But he grew up in New Jersey.
Yeah, but he's an Australian citizen.
I didn't realize he had that much ties to it. I mean, I just, like, he went to high school in New Jersey. Like,
right. But he's Ben more Simmons like, went to high school in Florida.
Right, but how long did Kyrie live in Australia?
I don't know, but he was born there, and he has dual citizenship.
I mean, I believe your facts. I'm just saying, like, off top of my head, Kyrie and I think are we're both from New Jersey. That's I always thought of Kyrie as just this, like.
Is this upsetting to you that the best player in the history of New Jersey is from Australia?
No, I don't care where he's from, and I don't care what he does. But I'm just saying, I didn't realize that. I don't think it's an Australian thing. I just think Kyrie thinks the earth is flat. Like, he's a dope, is what it is. Let's talk to Rick, who's in Doylestown. What's up, Rick? Rick, you there, buddy?
Oh, sorry about that. I'm here. Sorry. Just wanted to – I'm sure it's been talked about, but the divide between two Philadelphia athletes has never been greater. And the reason I say that is One is, as you said earlier, petulant, spoiled, snot-nosed brat, and the other epitomizes class, dignity, and handling a difficult situation like a professional. I always had respect for Zach Ertz, but at the same time that we're watching Ben do all this nonsense, I read the back page of the Inquirer and the thank you to the fans and how much he appreciated Philadelphia, the game, the fans, just the sport. And it's just refreshing that there are people like that in the sport, that if I'm raising my son or daughter, I can point to one and say, that's how you need to conduct yourself in life. And then the other one, you could say, that's if you want to be a loser for the rest of your life, this is how you act and treat other people.
Yeah, Rick, it's a great point. It's a great point you brought up, the Ertz thing. I mean, you know what I respect, Rick? I respect athletes like Ertz, Brandon Graham. Remember how difficult his career started here when he was injured and he wasn't productive? Like, you know, people always give a bad rap to Philadelphia, how hard we are on athletes, but I don't think there's any city that respects more the athlete that went through some trials and tribulations, and even like Joel, right? A lot of injuries, and then comes out the other side. And Ben, like, he still has that opportunity. Like, he struggled. He had a bad playoff series, but if he didn't ask out and he said he was going to put his head down and he worked and he came back better, this city would have accepted him back. Like, that's the frustrating part.
Without question. Without question. And, you know, the one thing I do notice, and I think it's obvious, I'm not a scholar at evaluating people and personalities, but I just don't get the feeling that Ben has ever loved playing the game of basketball. I think he's great at it to a certain extent with the skill he has, but has never worked on getting better. Where I see Zach Ertz as someone who has passion in it. When he spiked his touchdown in the end zone last week, it was you felt the energy. He loved the game. And but Ben looks lobotomized half the time. I never see him smile. He just, maybe that's all part of his personality. I shouldn't be that judgmental, but I don't get the feeling that he really gets pleasure out of the game, just money.
He's a robot. Like, there's no emotion to it. Like, good or bad, it's just, it's nothing. Yeah, it's a shame. I think his career will be looked at as a shame. And Rick, it's just frustrating because, I mean, this is impacting the season. I was just saying a few minutes ago, I'm almost not even excited at all for the first game tomorrow night.
No, it's a shame because there's a lot to be excited about, but it's such a distraction. It's a dark cloud over the Sixers. And, I mean, that's where it points back to Morey. This should not be where we are right now. This should have been resolved last year at the end of Game 7. It
yes.
should have been fait accompli. It's over. Let's move on.
Yes, and that's why, Enrico, I was pretty sure your phone call. There has to be an adult in the room. And Daryl Morey's, like, Daryl Morey's job is to look out for the best interest, short and long term, for the Philadelphia 76ers. And I said short because I think that we lose track of that sometimes. You know, like Tucker mentioned earlier, the Hinkie quote, the longest view in the room. Today matters too, right? You could try to balance today and tomorrow, but you can't just throw away today always at the expense of tomorrow. I guess in a rebuild, in a sense, you can. Like, who cares about this particular game today? It's about the big picture. But the Sixers aren't in a rebuild. Joel Embiid's prime is not going to just suddenly, like, he's not going to wake up and find some sort of magic potion that makes big men last till they're 40.
Could you freeze him?
Like Ted Williams?
Or Walt Disney?
You want to freeze Embiid now or when he passes? Like,
I mean, I don't know, now?
Maybe freeze him now until they get everything else figured out and then bring him back?
Yeah, could you do that?
Joel, listen, we got a plan.
It's 2021. Science has, like, they're cloning sheep now.
Yeah, I mean, just how do you get him to sign off on that? Joel, listen, we got a big picture plan. Just believe us on this. We're going to freeze you for a couple years. We got to deal with this Ben thing, contracts. Let's get Tobias out of here. We'll reset the salary cap. We'll bring in a couple of real stars. We'll unfreeze you, and we'll go win a title. You on board?
I mean, like, he just had a kid. He may not be excited about that idea, but
yeah, the world
seems
goes
like
on.
A team first guy.
Yeah, and it is. It's not. I mean, it's a little beyond team first. I mean, it's freezing you. But, like, you know, when it comes to GMs like Morey, it's not just about tomorrow. Like, yeah, I'm just going to wait and hold on to Ben until tomorrow arrives, until I get the best deal. Well, what about today? What about this season? Like, we said, Mike O'Connor, who covers the team, and I asked him what his outlook on the season is, and he said competitive. Competitive? They're the number one seed in the conference last year. Does anyone believe they're going to be the number one seed in the conference this year? Anyone? I don't. I mean, they're just going to have a step back this year because of probably a million different things, including the fact that right now they go from whatever the impact Ben Simmons had on the regular season. I don't know if you want to look at it in terms of wins added, you know, baseball, we do war. I don't know what it is, right? But, like, taking Ben off the team and replacing him with zero, that's actually helping you in the regular season. Like, that's you're missing a player. He did do some things to help them win some games in the regular season. That's, they've got nothing back for that now. Zero.
Right.
I mean, they're worse.
Yeah, it's not just addition by subtraction. I know we tend to think it is because of not just Ben Simmons' acts, but the fact that the one thing he can't do is the most obvious thing to watch on a basketball court. But, I mean, just even look at the Hawks series, right? I know he played terribly offensively. I know he only had 5 points in Game 7. I think he shot the ball 10 times total in Games 5 and 6. He was a big part of the reason why the team failed, but I know people don't like that he bragged about how good he was on Trae Young, but look at Trae Young's numbers that series compared to the other two they played. He was pretty terrible for most of that seven-game series, and you could probably attribute a lot of that to Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, his defense will not be there tomorrow night. I mean, whatever negatives he brought, there were some positives, and it's like they didn't trade that for something. Like, they haven't done that yet. It is incredible. 215-592-9494. That's how you hopper. We'll come back. Joel Embiid today talking about this Ben Simmons situation, and he said he's not something. Well, you hear what he said, he's not, and I agree with him. He's not. These are grown men. We'll hear from Joel Embiid, and we get, you know what? It's very rare. A weeknight during October, we didn't talk about the Eagles, but for a couple minutes, a couple hours ago, but I did want to talk about something that was a notable takeaway from this weekend. And for a guy that's getting ripped, rightfully so, for a lot of things, we got to give someone credit for something that happened this past offseason because it's paying dividends.
Carson Wentz?
No. Give Carson Wentz credit on this show. I mean, we might have to talk about Wentz at some point this week. I sense there's a lot of people like itching, even though he completed 11 passes this weekend.
Good enough for Pro Football Focus Player of the Week.
Oh, geez. Oh, he had completed 11 passes against the Texans. Everyone, take a deep breath. But I do want to give credit to someone. 215-592-9494. Hear from Embiid next. Your phone calls. Who are you more frustrated with right now for where the Sixers are and blame for all this? Morey and the Sixers or Ben? I'm blaming Morey and the Sixers. This should have been done by now. This guy should have been out of here. We'll discuss on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Basketball season is back, and there's no better place to bet on the NBA than FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. To celebrate the NBA tip-off, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers enhanced odds. That's right. Get 75-1 odds on any team to win on October 19th or 20th. I'm going to give you a team I really like this year. How about Memphis? I think they're going to take a big leap with their young point guard who's about to become one of the best players in the NBA. I'll take them to win their first game. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. Look, it's so easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet. There's fast withdrawals, and when you win, FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. And there's a lot of betting. You could bet faster in a game, and you know, we're watching the baseball game here, and the LA was down, and they came back. You just kind of sensed that coming. You could have took it and got a big return. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. See for yourself why FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code Chilio to get 75-1 odds on any team to win on October 19th or 20th. That's promo code GIGLIO.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley. It takes too long. That music,
I don't think we've ever made it that far into that music.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little delayed coming back because we were talking about something, but like, you try to wait that one out. Some of them you can wait out and it kind of flows.
You know who waits too long? Tom Kelly.
Like, how long does he wait?
Like 15, 30 seconds sometimes.
Like the whole thing's playing?
Yeah.
Well, you know what he is? He's making you wait. Anything good people will wait for, right? Like, and Tom's got some good takes. He knows people are hanging on in their cars, waiting for the TK take on Ben Simmons, on Carson Wentz, on Nick Sirianni. Actually, I haven't heard TK in a while. I don't know where he's at on the state of the Eagles at 2-4.
Probably down.
Yeah, I mean, not many are up right now. I did see, though, and we'll talk about it more during the week. Did you see, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, the Eagles have the easiest remaining schedule in the NFL?
Playoffs?
I mean, I didn't need a Football Power Index to tell you that, right? Like, I mean, isn't that common sense? Look at their schedule. So they play how many quarterbacks that are any good?
3? 4?
Carr, Herbert, Dak in week 18. Is that it? I think that's it. I mean, there's a whole lot of Daniel Jones, Jameis Winston, Zach Wilson, Tyler Heinicke, kind of Jared Goff.
Teddy Bridgewater?
there's a lot of games they should compete to win. Starting this weekend, I don't think there's any reason they can't have a chance to win that game on Sunday. They're underdogs by 3 points against the Raiders. But I wanted to play this for you here. Joel Embiid, and I think we've all probably said this at some point, when we have to, you know, it could be for a sibling at some point in our life, could be anything. Like, listen, my job here isn't to watch this person. I'm not a babysitter. Here's Joel Embiid on his role in all this with Ben Simmons.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. You know, that's not my job. You know, that's those guys' jobs. You know, I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, you know, play hard every night, try to lead, you know, the guys that we have here. And I'm sure they feel the same way because, you know, our chemistry has been excellent. Despite, you know, everything that's been happening in the last few months. Like I said, I don't really care.
He's not a babysitter. I mean, Joel Embiid's not paid to be a babysitter. He's paid to be one of the best players in the NBA.
He's paid to deliver, as he went on to say later.
Listen, I agree. It is what he's paid to do. Deliver and be one of the most impactful players in the league. Not babysit Ben Simmons. 215-592-9494. That gets you bored. Who are you more frustrated with? Who's more to blame for this whole situation with the Sixers? Ben, you know, kicked out of practice today and suspended for the game tomorrow. I put the blame on Daryl Morey at this point more than I do Ben Simmons and all his camp and all that. Look, Ben has shown us who he is. Ben has shown us he's not about the team. He doesn't want to be here. Like, I've lost the energy to be annoyed at Ben Simmons. Like, he's not a winner. He doesn't want to be here. Like, all those things you feared about Ben, they're obviously true. But what frustrates me is that the Sixers are just pretending they could they could navigate the waters here. They'll figure it out. You know, they'll take a good trade when a good trade is offered, even though that might not happen. I mean, think about the best case scenario painted on this show tonight by our guest about a half hour ago. And that is to hope the Nets trade away their unvaccinated star guard because he can't play in New York City. And he won't retire when he shows up here. Like, that's the best case scenario we've painted in 4 hours for how this ends. Hope flat earther Kyrie Irving says, sure, I'll go play in Philadelphia when the Sixers offer Ben Simmons to the Nets. If that's your best option, you know, maybe you should just take what's there because you probably don't even really have many options. Boy, it's a mess right now. 215-592-9494. All right, before we go back to the phone lines, and I do want, before we hand it over to Jody, play something because today is the 12-year anniversary of a great moment in Philadelphia sports and, you know, at a time where October was still fun in sports around here. October's not fun around here anymore. We're depressing.
You going to go to a pumpkin patch this weekend?
I did already.
Oh.
2 weekends ago. Oh, we're set. I got all the pumpkins.
Did you carve them?
Not yet.
Carve them up?
Not yet. They're just outside in front of the house. If you carve them too early, now the weather's kind of turned, which I'm happy about. It's cool now. But if you carve them too early, like last year we carved them pretty early, and then it was unseasonably warm around this week and next week, they rotted. You got to be careful with that, Tucker.
Seems like a lot of effort for something you're going to throw out in 2 weeks.
Well, you got to time the carving, right? You want to, you know, it's almost like when you get a Christmas tree, right? You can't get the Christmas tree in the middle of November. It's going to dry out by the time you get to Christmas. There's that kind of sweet spot. You want to have it.
Unless it's plastic, you can get it in July.
Well, sure, but that's fake. Like, are you a real Christmas tree guy or a fake Christmas tree guy?
I don't have the room for a Christmas tree anymore.
All right, well,
but I would be fake. I had a fake one in college.
Oh, see, I'm a real Christmas tree guy, even though I have to say that, you know, the juice is worth the squeeze, that whole thing. I love the real Christmas tree. I'm going to do it again this year. We always do it. I always question if it's worth the squeeze, like when I'm cutting it down with an axe. When I'm all itchy because of the pine, when the pine needles are all over the house.
Your sweatshirt's ruined with sap?
Yeah, like when I have to clean it up and take it out of the house and try not to get pine needles everywhere. It's a lot. When I have to remember to water it every day because it drinks, even though it's cut down. It's amazing how it does that. Anyway.
You should switch to an aluminum pole.
And celebrate Festivus?
Yeah.
For the rest of us?
I find tinsel distracting.
Anyway, October used to be fun around here. It's not. We're bringing a fun October moment coming up in a few minutes. But I do want to mention this because it was impossible not to think about it on Sunday. You know, Howie Roseman, the Eagles, we know they're not in a good spot right now at 2-4, and this season is not trending towards feeling like it's going to end in the playoffs, although I don't think that idea is totally dead considering the – has anyone looked at the NFC standings? There's 5 good teams. 7 have to make the playoffs. There's someone in the Panthers, Vikings, Saints, I don't know, Washington, Falcons, like 2 of these teams I'm talking about, Eagles, are going to make the playoffs. So I don't think that's a dead dream yet. But obviously this team's not very good. We know that. But playoffs and 8-7 seed aside, they're not a very good football team. And they got a lot of work to do with Howie Roseman trying to fix this thing. But can we give Howie Roseman credit? The trade he made with the Miami Dolphins, I believe is going to go down as the best trade in Howie Roseman's career. And Howie Roseman made some good trades. But the Dolphins might have a top 5 pick. They are horrendous. They can't rush the quarterback. They can't block. Their quarterback's always hurt or not that good in Tua. Their coach is overrated. They traded down from 6 to 12 to get Miami's 2022 first-round pick. It's going to go down as one of the worst trades in years in the NFL. Miami is terrible. They're careening towards a top 5 pick in the draft. I don't think they're going to finish the worst record, but they're going to be near the bottom. I mean, that's I'll call it a guaranteed top 10 pick. Top 5 is certainly plausible. They lost to the Jaguars.
I mean, they're bottom 3 in points scored and points allowed.
They're bad.
And look at their schedule. It doesn't get much easier. Like, they play the Falcons this week, who they could beat. I'd say on paper they are a better team than the Falcons.
Yeah.
But then they have to go to Buffalo.
Loss.
They host Houston. That should be a win. But then they host Baltimore, and that's going to be a tough one.
It's a loss.
They go to the Jets, who the Jets are hot now. I don't know if you knew that. The Jets are red hot.
They're probably split with the Jets. Okay, so that's 4 total wins if we count the Jets, the Texans, and the...
Yeah, I mean, they host the Panthers, which that's a blatant loss, obviously.
They'll lose that game.
Host the Giants, host the Jets, and then at Saints, at Titans, home against Patriots. I mean, there's like 5 wins in there.
Yeah, I'd say the Giants are maybe potentially one more, but they're going to max at 5 or 6. Six is they have to really get hot to get to 6. They're probably going to finish with 4 or 5 wins. They're bad.
Yeah, I mean, there isn't really much going on there. And I know they spent a lot of money on their cornerbacks, on Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. Both of them are hurt right now.
Right.
But even with Tua coming back, Tua came back, they only put up 17 points.
And he didn't play terribly. He just didn't. It's like, I mean, that's what Tua's been in the NFL. He doesn't throw 5 picks, but his teams don't score points. He doesn't move the ball.
They threw 354 yards. They put up 20 points.
Yeah, they don't score. Like, they don't put the ball in the end zone with Tua as their quarterback. It was a really good – I mean, I loved the trade the day it happened. I just thought it was a smart value play for the future considering where the Eagles were, and I liked it. I didn't think it turned out this good. I mean, I thought before the season there was a possibility Miami and the Colts would both miss the playoffs and have three good picks, but it's looking even better. I mean, I know everyone's losing their minds over Carson Wentz's 11 completions on Sunday. They beat the Texans. They're 2-4. Like they're not very good either. There's a real chance there's a three top 15 picks.
Yeah, and Howie Roseman will pretty much control the entire draft for better or worse.
Yeah, I mean, you have to include the worst. I mean, he could botch it, but yeah. The Eagles will control the first half of the first round.
Do they take a defensive player with one of those picks?
If they don't, Howie needs to be taken out in handcuffs. We don't have any young defensive talent besides Sweat. Who else is there?
Javon Hargrave's playing pretty well, but he's also like 28.
Yeah, he's got some good years left, and he's playing really well, but he's not on his rookie contract, right? They signed
Marcus Epps guy?
I'm not. I don't really see much there at Marcus Epps. I mean, I saw him in the vicinity of Antonio Brown on the game-sealing catch on when Brady was flushed out on Thursday. But has Marcus Epps ever made a play? Does he make plays around here? He's just on
not
the field.
On defense.
No, he's just on the field. He's just there. You know who else looks pretty poor, I would say, since he can't come back? Rodney McLeod looks a step slow.
He looks done.
Yeah, I mean, he just doesn't look like he's doing anything out there. Like he's in his uniform, but that's not the Rodney McLeod we used to see around here. Let's talk to Dan in Northeast Philly. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Joe. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Dan. What's up tonight?
I'm beat up. They needed me a couple of weeks ago for softball. And, I'm just the first base coach and an advisor, and I can't play no more.
You're done? It's over?
They almost killed. Well, I got to hit the big hit the second game, and we won short a guy. And they had another old guy older than me playing that I brought. But we got 1 week left and then the playoffs. But last week, we got good defense. We didn't hit. The problem is our hit and we're not consistent. But since you brought up pumpkins, I was going by a friend of mine's house and he was up Lancaster. He has a pumpkin in front of his house. It must weigh over 300 pounds. You should see this. I don't know how the hell he got it there. I tried moving it. I couldn't even budge it. I mean, it's crazy.
I didn't even know pumpkins existed that big.
Oh, my God. They get a lot bigger. They're some kind of giant or some name they have for it. And he's growing some in his yard, but the ones he's got in the yard are big, but not that big. But, I mean, this thing, I don't know how he got it there. It's got to be over 300 pounds. But
I wonder how many pumpkin pies you could make with that thing.
Oh, I don't know. He said he makes them, but he uses some other kind to make the pies, or some other kind that's better for the pies.
Yeah.
But, you use the stuff on the side for the pies.
Right, you gotta scoop it out a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I love pumpkin pie, but to get to the Eagles, when is this frigging coach, you got a rookie coach, basically a rookie quarterback. When is he going to figure out to run the frigging ball?
You know, Dan, I don't know. He was on when Angelo Sirianni was on Monday, and he said they have to get Miles Sanders more involved. And, Dan, I mean, it's been six games now, and it's remarkable how little they've run the football. Like, it's obviously the NFL now, teams pass way more than they run, but this is crazy. Like, it's a crazy amount of pass-first run. Crazy.
And all the heat's on Hurts, and I think that should bring Boston Scott back up. Run Sanders, run Scott up the middle, and I think they'd be successful. And not only that, Joe, it helps out the offensive line because they get the fire off and hit the defensive line and put them on their heels, and it slows down the defensive line when they are rushing the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, there's a physicality to the game that they lack right now. I mean, and it's easy. The defense, they know what's coming now.
Oh, if you pass every down, they know it. When they did run the ball at the end of the game the last time, they got, 25 yards and 11 yards?
Yeah,
but I'd like to see him have one big back to run up the middle too. I mean, I'm not saying you have to be a primary run team, but you have to run the ball enough to keep them honest. And if you're successful running, keep running the ball because that lets your defense get rested. Because you hold the ball, you have time of possession.
Yeah, Dan, and it helps you. You're right; it helps your defense. You know what's sad, Dan? Their most physical running back right now is their quarterback.
I know. Jalen. That's what I'm saying. They need a. I mean, look at what Wentz last year, third and short and fourth and short. They say he's injury prone. You have him running it up the middle. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they didn't have a big back for short yardage.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It's not good. And Dan, we appreciate the phone call. So speaking of the Eagles' offense, I watched a video last night. You ever see you remember the ex quarterback JT O'Sullivan? He was a quarterback for the Saints at one point. I think he backed up for the Packers. He had a career. He's a high school coach now out in, I believe, California. I don't know how I stumbled upon this, but I found he does a YouTube page called The Quarterback School. I actually tried to find his contact info to reach out and see if we get him on the show this week. It's hard to find it. But I watched a video. I think it was he titled it Hurts So Bad, which is a fun play on words. And, you know, depending on where you lie on what the issues with Eagles offense is right now, we debated last week, you know, Jalen Hurts and how much you worry about him versus Sirianni and all that. So it's a really eye-opening video. Kind of reminds me, we had someone on last year that did YouTube videos of breakdowns. This was about Wentz. So if you watch this video, you will come away with, at least I did, two things. Jalen Hurts is not seeing the field. I mean, he's just, forget the throws he misses. Like, he's not seeing what he needs to see. It's clear. It's also clear that Nick Sirianni's RPO game is a joke. Like, the first couple plays he breaks down, one of them was a run. One of them was a pass Hurts tried to find with the RPO. Like, I think Sirianni mentioned last week, none of the guys on the offensive staff have ever called plays with the RPO. They're trying to learn how to do this because they're using Hurts as their quarterback, and that's what he's the best at. It's so painfully obvious. Like, there was a couple plays where you could see, and he broke it down, like, Hurts has nowhere to go. Like, nowhere to go in the run game, and then a pass is just destroyed from the start. They break the screens up, and he just rolls to his right and tries to make something out of nothing because there's nothing there. And then there's also plays that there's someone open. And Hurts doesn't wait for the route to develop. And if he just waited a second, he's got a wide open guy. Instead, he basically throws it. He makes it harder on himself than he has to. So it's not a good combination right now, Tucker. It's Hurts having, I don't know, you call it growing pains, or he's just not seeing the field. And it's the offense also just poorly designed. Like, it's both.
Yeah. And I think I said last Thursday and even Friday during the show, you know, Jalen Hurts doesn't do enough special things to make up for the routine things he doesn't hit, right? Like, he hasn't been a precision passer. He isn't hitting guys in stride. He's not passing at a high volume of completions.
Right.
And he's not really making the big plays either, right? Like, Carson Wentz could get away with only completing 60% of his passes because he would hit Nelson Aguilar for a 75-yard touchdown.
Right.
Or he converted third downs at a clip unseen in the NFL, and Jalen Hurts just isn't doing that right now. When you watch the game, like, there are throws to be made, but the one thing I find interesting is, you know, in the NFL now, it's very hip to develop your offense around your quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea. You bring in a quarterback, and instead of teaching him the system, you build your system around his skill set, which it seems like the Eagles are trying to do.
Like Kyler Murray in Arizona, they did that. Lamar,
right.
Yeah. Right.
The only issue is, I don't think Nick Sirianni or any of these guys has ever done that.
No.
Right? Like, it's like if you always built houses, then all of a sudden you show up and they're like, hey, you need to build a car today. They're like, well, we have hammers. We'll try it and see what happens.
Yeah, and I think some of the plays that this video was referencing, it looks like they didn't know where to put the tire. Like, it's just like, this doesn't make any sense.
And it goes back, I think, to the fact that they never hired a babysitter. I know we're talking a lot about babysitters tonight, but they never hired Nick Sirianni a babysitter. There's no adult on this coaching staff. There's no one in those meetings that can sit down and say, hey, we got to figure this out. We have to do X, Y, and Z to get everything back on track, because none of these guys, I mean, we have three first-time coordinators. Everyone's under the age of 40. I look around and I don't see how it's a recipe for success.
And, you know, so you mentioned that Hurts has not made enough splash plays to make up for the mistakes. You know what also is not part of the offense the last couple weeks? There's not that, like, wide-open, easy throw. For the Falcons game, I'd say the Chiefs game, I would say the Niners game a couple times, like the deep throw he hit, Quez was pretty open. Like, there haven't been many of those, like, oh, this is an easy completion, let's get him in a rhythm. Like, the defense has taken those away. They're not there right now. So it's like it's a bad combination of they're not scheming up anything easy. What they're trying to scheme up is being seen by the defense right away, and what's there, he's not seeing. Like, it's very, it's like, how do they not get first downs? Well, it's actually pretty simple when you kind of watch this thing. It's bad. It's bad right now. And hopefully, you cross your fingers, the 10 days here, the break, self-scouting, whatever you want to call it, gives them a chance to kind of reset and figure something out, because whatever that was offensively against Tampa Bay, just not going to work.
No, and it won't work against any defense, really. I mean, you think about the best two games that this offense played were against Atlanta.
Bad.
The 31st ranked defense in the NFL, and against Kansas City, who's dead last. So, unfortunately, we talked about the quarterbacks who are on the schedule coming up. The defenses are a little bit better. Like think about what Max Crosby and that defensive
line. He's been
line
great, Crosby.
In Las Vegas. I know the offensive line has played well, but that Vegas defense is legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'd say the rest of the way, other than Chargers game, they're going to have a chance to – I mean, they also have a chance against Chargers, but they're going to have a chance to be in every game because the offenses they're playing are not explosive and great. But their offense has to hold up their end of the bargain. I mean, that's they can't expect gifts like the Panthers gave them with Darnold, just, you know, just presents from Sam Darnold and the special teams. They're going to have to be better on offense if they're going to win some of these games. I think they will, but they're going to have to start in this week against the Raiders. All right, before we hand it over to Jody – let's play this for you. 12 years ago tonight, I mentioned there was a time where October was fun around here with sports. Hasn't been in a while. This night was fun. This team was fun. This series was fun. And what a night it was. 12 years ago tonight, game four of the 2009 NLCS.
Swing and a drive, right center field. This one is falling. It's base hit. It'll go up the alley. Rutland will score. Ruiz around third. He is being waved home. The Phillies have won the ball game. Ruiz slides. Rollins has won it. They stream out of the dugout. Yeah. Rollins ball near third. This game is over as the Phillies strike again with two outs in the ninth inning, and they have a 3-1 lead.
It feels so crazy now listening to excitement from Scott in L.A. Now that they don't get up for the walk-off hits and big moments the Phillies have now, but like that's real excitement. That's October. That's the Phillies getting to three wins in the NLCS, meaning they needed one more at that point, which they got the next game, to get to the World Series. I mean, now what kind of real excitement do we have now? You know, a Bryce Harper walk-off home run once in a while? A Brad Miller home run against the Nationals in a 7-inning game in July?
You think he's coming back?
I don't think so. I mean, it just doesn't he want to go win somewhere?
I would think so.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they could give him up. They say you get at bats if you come back here. But, I mean, like, what are the real exciting moments this past season? Luke Williams with a walk-off home run that we spent the day on getting excited about Luke
Moniak
Williams.
Went yard in, like, May or April.
It was cool. Yeah. But that's real excitement. October, a sold-out crowd, L.A. going crazy in the booth. It's, man. Imagine if I told you then, like, what this would be now. I know they had two more really good years after that, and they got to the NLCS and then won 102 games. But 12 years later, I'd be telling you we're on a decade-long postseason drought. It's just embarrassing. It's sad.
Feels like it's a different sport.
Well, I mean, it is the way the game's played.
I remember, like, when I was a kid, I used to think the Phillies and Yankees just played in different leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Yankees were in the World Series every year, and the Phillies just didn't have a shot. Kind of back to that now. It's almost like the Phillies playing Quad A,
like the Dodgers,
not Major League Baseball.
The Dodgers have taken that place of the Yankees.
Yeah, like the Dodgers, the Astros, even the Rays, the Red Sox. Like they play Major League Baseball. The Phillies don't.
No, and that's the best way to put it. They don't. They haven't for a while, and we'll see if they play it again anytime soon. All right, Jody Max coming up next. You guys have a great night. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have a Sixers pregame. We'll do a lot of Eagles, a lot to get into tomorrow. Jody Mack next, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And hey, it's Joe Giglio. Football is finally back. Your picks can be worth $10,000 with the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Sign up today by texting picks to 20357 and just pick the winner of each week's games. No point spreads, no lineups, and totally free to enter. Pick the most games right throughout the season, and you could win $10,000. Sign up now by texting picks to 20357. That's picks to 20357. $1,000 up for grabs each week and $10,000 at the end of the season. It's the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.